Bucks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. 6 minutes after the hour on this Wednesday morning. We do appreciate you listening. 251-343-0106. As the show unfolds, we'll get to your text messages and respond accordingly if I deem them to be reasonable enough to respond to. Anyway, still to come on the program, former State Senator Rusty Glover, candidate for State Auditor. We got him coming on. Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth joins us in the 11 o'clock hour, and we'll wrap it all up with U.S. Senate hopeful Katie Britt. Katie Boy Britt, known her for a long time. She'll join us. We'll hear from her from the campaign trail, I assume. So make sure you stay tuned for that. But very pleased to bring on my next two guests in studio with us. Always great to get guests in studio when possible. Mobile City Councilman John Williams and City Council candidate, District 4 here, Ben Reynolds, joins us as well. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Jeff. It's a great day in Mobile, Alabama. Thank you for having us.
Hey, thanks for coming in. I'm glad we finally got to make time for you, but get you in here together. We'll kick it off here. Councilman, with you, not running again, talk a little bit about that decision and why you think it's time to pass that torch.
Well, Jeff, you know how long I've been in office. So one of the first people I ever talked to was you, a student at South Alabama.
Right.
And young Republicans 15 years ago. It's long enough. It's long enough for any politician. I criticize lifelong politicians. I'm not going to become one. But I also wasn't going to walk away until I found a guy that was absolutely prepared. And we found this guy in Ben Reynolds.
Councilman, I guess it's kind of a slog and it wears. I mean, we really talk about that experience because when we first met, we talked about it. And, it was a little bit of a different time. But here we are, like you said, 15 years later. And you've been going and going and going and going at it. And you know, the city council has its moments. Obviously, a lot of friction there sometimes. But does that tend to wear on you? Do you walk away looking at that post and city government differently?
I do, absolutely. And I admire the people that are willing to do it, whatever their motivation. Because it doesn't take long before it does start to wear. It is work at times. My predecessor, Ben Brooks, one of the greatest city councilmen anywhere at any time in our city, especially. He always said it was feast or famine.
Yeah.
And boy, I'll tell you, when it's on, it's on. And it that has become more and more of being a busy time and a full time job now than it was at the beginning.
Yeah, because you know the role of government, it just seems to increase for better or for worse. But also, there's so much media out there. And the way it's discussed, the way it's talked about, but just as the way the city has developed over the years, I guess maybe more people pay attention. I don't know. Like, do you find as much public engagement as you did when you first got into it?
Well, you
got
to realize that we were barely into Blackberries at that point. Oh, and it was yellow sticky notes that when we got into our office, we had office hours. I was just talking to a friend of mine named Kevin Hayes, longtime friend. He saw me go into this office. And I really, other than Ben Brooks's coaching, didn't know what I was getting into. But with the development of technology, people want an immediate response. And that, too, can be trying because you want to meet expectations. I came into this to make government better. To have a better a perception of Mobile City Council, and I think we've done that.
Now, Ben, you're running for this seat. Just talk about that decision. You're running, why you're running, and some of the things you hope to accomplish.
Well, Jeff, thanks first for having me. this isn't a decision to run that we just came up with at the snap of a finger. This is a process that we've arrived at over a number of years, nearly 3 years. And I've prepared for this job over that time. When John approached me years ago and said, "Hey, look, I'm not going to be doing this forever. What do you think?" Gave it some heavy thought and made the decision that I was the right guy for this job and started to prepare immediately. And in this past 3 years, I've committed myself to knowing what the job is, being prepared to do it on day one. And I've done that by not missing a city council meeting in over 2 years. And also, I've missed very few planning commission meetings. I watch the...
So very, very engaged in the whole
Very engaged,
game
yeah.
There, yeah.
So we need good leadership. Our administration and council has gotten us into a good financial spot. And if we don't get the right person in this job, then it can all go away at the snap of a finger.
And we were talking about it before we came in here. You know, what you hear about from people, and a lot of times, a lot of people just kind of their idea of politics, it's all just one big glob, and they'll ask you about whatever's going on Fox News or whatever they read in the newspaper online. But when you boil it down to just city aspects, city issues, what do you hear from guys on the campaign trail?
Well, the number one problem, I think, is the decline of our population, and our decision-making really should be focused around that. You know, before we make a decision, we need to weigh it against that. Okay, is this going to help us grow as a city, or is this going to make us decline as a city? And I've heard from folks that the biggest contributors to that I've heard are public safety, infrastructure, housing, and education. And those are the areas that if we get right, I think we'll take the ultimate measure. The ultimate measure of a successful municipal government is your city growing or is it declining? But if we get those four categories right, I think we'll be on a pretty good path.
Well, you mentioned growth, and that gets us to the sticky issue, and I'll pose this question to both of you. Just talk about the annexation question, and I understand the pro argument that we need to grow and we need to stay competitive with the other municipalities, the big municipalities in Alabama, but also organic growth and growing it from within other than just going out and adding more territory.
Yeah, well, they're both good ideas. I mean, both things that we need to do, but one gives us an option right now. The other one is a slow go, an expensive go, and it's going to take some time to get there. But when you want to attract better job creators, when you want to attract higher paying jobs, one of the first things they look at is this city we're thinking about moving into growing or declining? And right now, we can't check that box. So instead of kicking the can and saying we're gonna fix it eventually, well, let's take immediate action right now, change the direction, and then, you know, that's going to generate additional tax revenue. It's going to potentially open up the door for more grants. It's going to make our city government a better place, and we can reallocate those monies to the inner city or to the areas that need it most.
You know, last two annexations, I voted yes. That was both under Sam Jones. One was not as successful as the other, but the ultimate goal there was to make sure we kept the lights on.
Yeah,
there was businesses out there that were only paying half tax. And we had to go there. We were providing them police and fire, and we needed that revenue to stay open. Now it's different. Everybody says you can't run it like a business. You have to run it like a business. You can't annexation, bringing in all the people and going broke. You didn't help anybody. In this case, firm financial ground right now with the leadership of Sandy Stimson in this council, and we can afford to take people in the thousands and make us competitive to be in one of the biggest cities, if not the biggest city in Alabama. That opens up everything.
Well, if I'm a resident of Mobile and I'm sitting here and we're having this discussion about annexation, but I'm already in the city, how does that improve my quality of life?
Well, exactly. Great question. That what it does is it opens it up for grants. Let's just take the SAFER grant or whatever you kind of name it. It's monies are given out from the federal government based on your size. And if we were a few thousand more, we'd get millions more. And we have to go and compete at a federal level now.
And Jeff, just, you know, our voters and citizens of Mobile, they're just like you and I. I mean, they can see that there's a benefit to doing it, that additional investment in our city, not just from the federal government or state or anybody else, but having an attractive city for additional investment means everyone benefits. They benefit as well. They get higher paying jobs. They've got more options in the job market. You know, they got nicer parks, nicer roads, nicer drainage. You know, it all ties together.
Yeah, and do you find that one of the concerns, I guess, that maybe there's a dilution there that you grow so much that you don't have as much individual interaction or individual, the city's too spread out, and government has to take care of all of these people, city government, that is. And maybe it's as simple as fixing a pothole. Well, there's more potholes to fix. Or you know, there's more crime to take care of.
All right. So you're right. That is a concern, and that's why smart annexation has to happen. It has to be financially based. We have to have the capacity to handle what we're taking on. So we can't just blindly do it and say, hey, just because you want in the city, we're going to let you in. I mean, it's got to be a smart decision. There's no question about it. But we can get to a good smart decision, and I thought the plan that was put together last time accounted for all of that.
Do you find that the people want? I don't know really how to gauge the pulse of the community there. But do you find that a lot of people are receptive to it?
I do, absolutely. People understand the issue. And they also want to make sure that the people outside the city limits, they want the very best fire and police. And the way they're going to get that is to become part of the city. The people here, they want to make sure that we have those same services throughout. And if we're if we're competing for grants, legitimately competing for grants from national from federal government in the hundreds of millions of dollars, in this case, more than what we're getting now, we would certainly be able to step it up with public safety.
Well, the public safety question is a very important one. One of the quality of life variables, whenever these national publications plug into their, top 10 cities to live in or whatever, and then they come up with that, it's the crime element. And that's something, just from a layman's standpoint here, from my perspective, looking at that, getting crime lower is going to make Mobile more of a attractive place. What do you do there? How do you fix that?
Well, I mean, crime is up across the country,
right?
Coming out of a pandemic and all the turmoil that's happened over the past 2 years or so. So it's a national issue, not just a Mobile issue. But the truth of the matter is it's not – crime in Mobile is in pockets. It's not everywhere in every neighborhood where we're having violent crime all over the place. Our policemen are doing a heck of a job. You got to work with the community, have policemen be involved with the community. I'm not sure that I have the answer exactly to it. I'm not a policeman, and a professional in that regard. So, I would defer to their judgment and support them on what they want to do. But we got to keep the balance.
I will tell you this, Jeff, that this council and every council I've been on has supported every mayor, every administration, every police chief for everything they've asked for. And that's the thing that a council has to do. We must fund everything we can, public safety first, infrastructure second, and everything else next. And so long as we keep it in that order and we understand what our purpose of government is, I think that we're going to a place that maybe Mobilians didn't think we could get to with regard to public safety.
We're going to take a quick break here. We're working a time out, and we'll pick it up on the other side, but to kind of tease that along here, we'll talk about maybe some more specific things to Mobile and maybe some of the politics involved, back to the police question and where we stand today. And, there's a lot of our national politics dictates the ebb and flow of our local politics, and that's maybe fortunate for some or maybe unfortunate in some other ways. But we're gonna get a quick break in here, and we will talk on the other side. This is the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5.
Alabama's where I was born and raised, and I think I'll stay a while. We sing about sweet home and Dixieland delight. We tell stories about what goes on in Montgomery at midnight. 'Cause Music Row ain't only in Tennessee, so won't you bury me in Dixie? Sweet potato pie and I shut my mouth. Gone, gone
another win. There ain't nobody looking back again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Horst Show on FM Talk 106.5. 24 minutes after the hour on this Wednesday morning. Thank you very much for listening. Stick around. Next segment, we'll talk to state auditor candidate Rusty Glover. Many of you up in the northwestern part of the county, they're very familiar with Senator Glover. He'll join us, so please stick around for that. But in the meantime, we are still joined in studio here by Mobile City Councilman John Williams and City Council candidate District 4 Ben Reynolds here together. Before we left, we were talking about public safety and kind of the way national politics can kind of dictate the tempo of a lot of what you probably talk about on a local level, but that whole defund the police, did it really make its way, you know, I don't think it made its way in here, made inroads here, but do you think that makes it more difficult to want to bolster law enforcement in Mobile? Because a lot of times when I have city council candidates on the, well, you need to foster a relationship between the citizens and the law enforcement, which is fine, but I think it maybe goes beyond that, too.
The policemen did a great job through all of that, and the mayor did a great job through all that and managed it well, which goes to that's already been happening. You know, there's already a relationship there. There's a respect for that job, what our public servants do, that they do so much for us that we appreciate that, I think, as a citizenry. And you know, the other things have been implemented, the body cameras and that sort of thing, to help protect that, make sure that facts are known, facts are seen, to bolster the confidence in the citizens that we don't have a bunch of bad policemen running around there doing things they shouldn't be doing, that we've got true public servants that are out there doing what they can to make living in Mobile safer and better for everyone.
And such a part of that is morale in the department. And I think, you know, just talking that the morale maybe took a hit a little bit during that whole episode. And you don't want that to happen in your neck of the woods.
Well, we got great leadership. Starts with Jim Barber and Chief Barber and Lawrence Batiste throughout the Mobile Police Department. They've dealt with their problems. We've had our issues. You know, we're all challenged by social media. And like you said, it takes those national issues and they try to force it down into,
right.
And people start believing that that's the kind of politics that we run here. And that's the kind of policing maybe that is happening everywhere. It didn't, because of the leadership of Sandy Stimson and Jim Barber, when the heat was on and the forefront on the street, Lawrence Batiste, the chief of police. And he had a relationship. He had the respect, and it went a long way.
Because he built that foundation, and absolutely, then when it was needed, it worked.
And right. And I'd like to say that when all of that was going on and the gatherings were happening downtown, I remember watching Chief Batiste out there on the front lines, taking every question anybody could throw at him and giving him an honest, straightforward answer, you know, and that's what it takes. That's what good leaders do.
And you look at, let's compare Mobile to Birmingham and Huntsville, didn't really have any incidents. So obviously there's something that works there with that.
Yeah, it's the citizens have been shown that our police officers can be trusted. Our administrative staff can be trusted. I think that contributes to it. And when you have outsiders trying to influence them, people can make their own decisions and say, well, I'm not going to be influenced by that, or you know, that's not reality for me. You know, so I think that's happened over a period of time. That trust has been built. Not to say that we're perfect and, you know, we don't have room for improvement. I'm sure we do. But I'm confident that the leaders we have in place on the executive branch are committed to bridging that gap.
And then finally, wrapping up on this, the infrastructure question remains to be, you know, one of the challenges, because Mobile, a little bit older city, but it's and we think of infrastructure as roads and bridges, but it's drainage. There's a lot of other things to be concerned about. Well, what are you hearing on that front?
Well, in District 4, I mean, where we're positioned in the Dog River watershed, the water to the north and west of us comes through us. So the biggest one that I hear and see is stormwater management. You know, everything going to Dog River and
right.
Halls Mill Creek, and you know, and then litter ties into that as well. That's the biggest one I see. And you know, I've heard the conversations about this district needs more and that district needs more. And well, the CIP I think has been very successful, and thank goodness we had a councilman that's a council that's committed to doing it, and a mayor to putting the money forward to address the issues throughout the city.
Real quick, Ben, folks want to find out more about your campaign. Where can they look?
All right. Well, first and foremost, I want everybody to know I'll be the last person on the ballot. Fill in that dot on the last person, last on the end of the ballot. ReynoldsForMobile.com.
All right. We got to get out of here. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming in. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.